that red button. That there must have been a smart guy. I don't know. I've got to tell you, guys, before I start my intro, because I've already started talking, you just picture these designers on Facebook. Let's make the live button look like that way, the thumbs up to look like that. Mate, Jesus, they good stuff. Anyway, guys and girls, it is that time of the week, Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock Sydney time, where Troy Malcolm, John McGrath and myself are giving you both the audio and video version of Million Dollar Agent Podcast, and we've already spent 15 minutes trying to work out what topic to talk about. That is what this professional outfit does.
Tommy, you're looking very Donald Trumpish today. I don't know if it's the colour or if you've put some makeup on. No.
John,
you're
turn a few lights off. Barbara Corcoran says it. There you go. Right.
Better.
That's better. Okay. The lights go on.
I thought you were paying homage to Trumpy with his last few hours, which is interesting. Interesting what's happening. The share market in the US, I haven't checked it today because I don't make a habit of checking it, but it feels like it has initially at least responded well to the change of government. Go figure.
Well, as we're speaking, I haven't checked the news, but it appears that it's highly, highly likely that Biden will be the new president. Actually, my youngest daughter said, "Daddy, how does it work? Does he just walk in and say, take your stuff, I'm the new man here?" And I said, no, there's normally a day. There's a day that it happens and, you know, a guy takes his stuff there. But I've got to tell you.
Removalists arrive and, I think it's the 20th of January, actually. I think it's... But of course, you know, it's interesting to see because it's not a clear cut. I mean, it does feel like Biden will be anointed in the next couple of days, if not tonight. But there seems that Trump will challenge the results. You know, he seems to think they should have stopped counting the ballots at a certain time rather than counting them all. He wanted to stop counting when he was in front, and he's quite upset about that. So,
I couldn't work
anyway,
John. I couldn't work that out when I was hearing it. Why are they counting the ballots? That's what they're supposed to do. People vote, and then you count the ballots. He goes, "No, stop counting."
In some other areas, he was asking them to continue counting. It's bizarre.
That's right. It's like, stop testing. If we stop testing, COVID numbers will go down. If they stop counting the ballots now, I win the race. So it doesn't quite work, mate, but neither of them works like that. But anyway, someone said to me, what the hell are we going to look at Fox News or watch for the next 4 years? Because Trump was like every day he was providing great fodder for the media. But I think as we come towards Christmas... buyer servicing, and then, you know, we were just chatting about this, guys, as you know, but just to share for our audience. I've got a view, and I think you guys share it, that buyer servicing is critical. If we look at Alexander Phillips at PPD, who's arguably the number one agent in the country at the moment, maybe unarguably, and he has made buyer servicing an art form, and I know he has a team, I get all that, but, you know, before these guys had a team, they didn't have a team, and they were just great at buyer servicing, and I think it's, you know, as I go around, Troy, and I'd like to think, you know, that our guys, the guys that you and I have the pleasure of coaching, are probably ahead of the average bear. But I find, you know, that there's gaps in their armament. And I just think, come on, industry, come on, agents, come on, guys, come on, Tom Panos gym members, let's get serious about buyer servicing because that's where all the gold is. Mm. So I thought it'd be good, Tommy, to have a chat about that because a lot of people say, well, what does that mean? I mean, you know, if a buyer rings me up, I take them to a property and I tell them what it's worth and I follow them up. But, you know, I don't think that's anywhere near enough nowadays.
No. So what's really interesting is that there is a generation of real estate agents that went through training academies all over Australia and New Zealand that were told, get the listing. Just get the listing. So fundamentally, you have people that are educated. Hey, my energy, focus, and time needs to go to get the listing. Now, the weird thing is, now this is Susan ringing, and I just want to make sure that we're, Susan, is everything fine? We're live on, everything all good?
Yeah, what happened is we decided to go early. That's all. It's all good. I'll talk to you when we're finished. Thanks. So there you go. We went earlier than the plan, and Susan doesn't understand. You said 4:30. What's going on? Why are you on there right now? And she's come on here as well. Susan.
Susan, we take it all back. We take it all back. We love the fact she holds us all accountable, but yes, flexibility is a good part of it.
Are we streaming?
Yeah, Susan, we're streaming. We want to apologise. I should have been on earlier, but we should have been on later. I should have let you know, but we are streaming as well.
That's okay. I'm just here for the entertainment.
Thank you, Susan. Okay. Guys, by the way, everyone that's watching this should have someone that works like that in their business, right?
If anyone's left watching it, the small number that probably started have probably disappeared.
What the hell are these clowns doing? We're getting comments. We're all wearing black T-shirts. It's Friday afternoon. Everyone's relaxed.
Can we start again?
It appears they prefer this content than the real estate stuff, John.
Buyer servicing. Let's get down to it.
So we were just talking about the fact that we've been coming through a generation of get their listing. But the irony of it all is a buyer is the easiest person to speak to because they're normally coming to you. Whereas when it's the listing, I mean, there are people that are knocking on doors to strangers that they've never met, right? Trying to build a relationship with these people. Yet every day between emails and telephone calls that are coming into agents, they sometimes have a belief, hey, it's just a buyer. I need to get the listing. Now, I know that John and you, Troy, in your training role, you believe that, in fact, a buyer, in most cases, is the beginning of a lifetime journey with a client that's going to live in a property for many, many years that you might actually do business with two or three times. But what does that look like? So what does great buyer servicing look like? And I know that one of the best agents in the country at the moment, Michael Dowling, from the McGrath office that looks after the North Ryde area. I mean, this guy here is getting, as soon as he walks out, you've said to me off camera, guys, that he sets it up on his WhatsApp group and it goes to his assistants and they automatically have got buyers in the first week. A minimum of 10 or 12 people are looking at that property in the first 7 days.
Yeah, look, and I don't want to steal too much of your thunder with Mike because I know it's your intent, Tommy, to get him on shortly to your gym members or perhaps here, I'm not sure where, but I don't want to steal his thunder, but yeah, he's extraordinary. His team, and he'll give a lot of credit to his team, but he's the team leader, are selling Troy about a property a day nowadays. They're doing 20 to 30 a month. They have tripled their business in the space of 18 months. And I think, what's my observation of why? I think buyer servicing is a massive part of it. So let's just run through, and I'll just throw a few snippets, but I'll leave plenty for him to talk to you and your gym members about Tom when he comes. I mean, a couple of things. Non-negotiables for him. You're right. Firstly, list the property. Doesn't wait till he gets back to the office. Doesn't wait for another few days. List the property, walks out, turns around, takes a photo, sends it to his WhatsApp group, which is his immediate team of three people. And it goes to them and says, I've just listed 10 Smith Street, 1.5 to 1.6 million, auction on the 5th of December. Let me know who you got. By the time he gets back to the office, his buyer specialist, which he has two, or his associates, they're on the phone and they're ringing people. And actually, Tommy, it's not 10 to 12 people in the first week. It's 10 to 12 people in the first 3 days is their average. 72 hours, they have 10 to 12 buyers. And I know Alex Phillips, who's one of the best agents ever, same category, he's there. I know Josh Teslin and his team, big on buyer management. So all the best agents take a leaf out of it. They are moving faster than ever. And we're talking about hours, not even days, certainly not weeks, to start getting a quality. So before that, you know, if you peek behind the curtains, you've got to actually have the buyers to ring Troy. You know, you can't just start making people up. So it means they're very good at capturing, databasing, talking to, putting in their ideal week time to have conversations with qualified buyers. So that's number one. I'll just throw a couple of things, Troy, and then over to you. But Yeah. That's number one. Number two is his non-negotiable around pest and building report. Every listing has a pest and building report. They use, what's that company? Before you bid. Great people, Sabine and Reese and the guys there do a great job. They've got a great model. He's made that non-negotiable. So, again, what's that to buyers? What makes it easy for buyers to come and buy on the spot and buy the day before an auction and buy the morning of an auction if they've just seen it? Non-negotiable. Price guide, basically non-negotiable, 90%. So even though he auctions just about everything, 90% of them have a price guide close to 100%. So again, he doesn't want people having to guess the price. He says, okay, here it is. Here's the property. Here's a floor plan. Here's a price guide. Open this week. Here's a video. And here's a price guide and a pest and building report. Sneak preview before he lists the, well, after he's, as he's listing the property, before it goes live on REA and Domain, he does a little video to guys, just listen to this great property at Smith Street. You should come and look at it. Saturday week, it's live, but if you want to see it, contact one of my associates or me, and we'll get you through it. So he's moving at pace. And I just think that's really very, very exciting. So pest and building reports, price guides, 10 to 12 buyers through in the first 72 hours, WhatsApp group. And I know Joshy Kesslin had WhatsApp group going for a long time, and a lot of the best people do. He's reduced, Troy, I just spoke to him yesterday about this before you jump in. He's reduced his auction campaigns by week because he's finding he has so much buyer activity in the first 10 days of a campaign. His problem is not finding buyers, it's holding them for another 2 to 3 weeks. Mm. So he's taken what has been traditionally in our industry a 4 week, and he's brought it through to 3, and he's still selling a lot before his average days on market, and he's selling a property today, a day, is 23 days on market. And I would guess the industry out in that region would be close to double, probably 35 to 42.
Yeah.
So go, Troy. What have I missed?
I was just going to say, John, you mentioned something right at the start. Michael is very proud of the team that he's developed. Now, the structure they have put in place with their team, I think, is what really stands them apart from anyone that I've worked with over recent years. What that means is, Tom and John, they have the ability to progress buyers through the campaign to make sure that every box is ticked. They're not just waiting for the buyer to turn up to the first open for inspection. They're not waiting for the buyer to maybe ask to download a contract. They're not waiting for the buyer to say, oh, has their building and pest been done? They're actually taking them through a series of gateways or frameworks that allows them to know the buyers are genuinely interested and qualified and ready to go. So those can be things like attending the first open for inspection. They can be attending multiple open for inspection. So they might come back at a different time, or a different family member might come with them the second time. Traditionally, those that are really interested in a property, they will normally request a private inspection, be that midweek during the night or early in the morning, to see the light, the noise, how close it is to the school, whatever that is for them, the traffic around the area. This is where it gets really interesting. I know that Michael and his team measure and mark up the buyers that have requested or downloaded the contracts, amended the contracts, requested those building reports, activated those building reports from not just pressing the download button to actually going through and passing it on to their solicitor. And then they ask some specific questions around, is the finance in place? Mm. Have you discussed other properties in the market? What other properties have they seen that they're comparing to this one? Have they made an offer on one of those properties, or have they missed out recently on one of those properties at auction, or have they just been in a negotiation that they were the underbidder?
You're right, Troy. They ask great questions, don't they? I mean, at once upon a time, it was well rehearsed, but it's not now because it's natural, because they just know, just like once upon a time, we used to be well organized.
But you're right, John. It's that unconscious competence that his team has now got to the level of mastery. And I think that's what I'm trying to get across. I've given
Or in our situation, conscious unconfidence.
It's even worse when you actually know it, when you pull it off and you actually know what you're doing.
We've got to keep moving. Susan will get upset with us. She's cracking the whip. But I think they have great depths. You're right, Troy. They ask great questions, great depths of conversation with their people. It's not just about how many buyers can you shove in the database. It's about, tell us about what are you looking at? What have you offered on? What are your next steps? Do you want to buy this property? You know, what do you need to do to buy it or get comfortable? Just a whole range of things. So I think they're really, really good. Another little tip, and I think they use this, but I've used it for years and coached it for years, is when you've got a hot buyer, and that's someone that you've actually determined is going to buy in the next 30 days, you know, they're red hot to go, they've offered on properties, they've got their finance, they've bid on properties, put a search into REA, realestate.com or domain, whatever is your portal of choice, and put it, this is the Tom Pannell search, and you put down what's Tom's buying criteria. So as a new listing comes up from someone else, because sure you'll know your own listing, you can know there and you ring up, say, Tom, just want to let you know that, you know, XYZ Real Estate across the road have just listed a home. You need to go and see it. I didn't get it, unfortunately. I didn't get called in, but I know the street. I kind of know what the property is going to be like. And it's, I mean, for me, depth of buyer, a high quality buyer, servicing is actually beyond just yourself. It's actually saying, my goal is to help you find a home. I hope it's through me, but if it's not, doesn't matter. Because, of course, that's where you create raving fans. That's such an attraction business. And that's where you become a legendary agent. So, you know, REA search, add that to your list, checklist for everything. Dowling said at this little group I had during the week, a little forum with a few people, and he was kind enough to share what he's doing with them. And he just said, you know, John, we have checklists for everything. Everything we do has a checklist. So he's not leaving anything to chance. It's like highly organized business.
Guys, let me tell you, one of the other things that came to my mind that agents tell me as you were speaking that's extremely valuable over that first 3 or 4 days, it actually creates urgency and fear of loss to the buyers. I mean, if you fundamentally look at it, the list to launch period is the period that you can be from a position of strength and say to a buyer, by the way, I'm letting you know this is going live on REA on Friday. Right? Mm-hmm. So this is going out to a broader marketplace. So it actually creates a action for a buyer that wants to buy it. The second thing is you talk about questions. Some of the questions that I've heard over the years that I think, wow, they should be used more. And that is not just what you're looking for, but, you know, what's the best one you've seen so far? And what stopped you buying that one? Because the answer to that is going to tell you a lot about where they're at in the journey, where they are about what they like. And then the third thing I want to add, guys, is I can't tell you the amount of real estate gym members that tell me buyer assessments are one of their major sources of listings for the first 2 years in real estate. So what they'll do is they'll meet a buyer at an open home and they'll say, listen, I'd love to spend 15 minutes with you where I totally find out exactly what's hot for you and what's not. I don't want to waste your time. Could I sit with you during the week for 10, 15 minutes? They then organize to have the meeting at their house. Mm. And once they're at their house, they end up having a relationship and a conversation. And often people will say, listen, while you're here, have a stick around and just tell us what you think a rough ballpark. We're not selling now, but we'd love to get you to know. And for many people, that's the beginning of the journey, the buyer assessment.
It's really critical. If you don't ask the right questions up front, you can't service them down.
You still on your audit, John? You produced and gave me an audit 5 or 6 years ago. And one of the things that on your audit, this is how real estate fit you are, was a hot 25 buyer list. So in addition to having your, you know, your agent box wider database where you got your buyers, you've separated and you know these people here are high probability people that are going to be buying a property in the next 30 days. I've got to be thinking about them every day.
Yeah, in fact, it's gone up from there. I'm now coaching Tom, minimum of 10 to 15 hot buyers. Again, definition of hot buyers, you convince they're about to buy something. 10 to 15 hot buyers per segment. So if you're in an area, generally you're probably selling houses and units, and there's probably a couple of price brackets you're focusing on. I know for Mike, probably most of his sales occur between 1.4 and 1.7. And then I know that, you know, his team also does some stuff between 700 and 900 in terms of strata. So you kind of work out and you've got to have 10 to 15 buyers, because how else can you get 10 to 12 people through in 3 days unless you do that? They did an off-market, or they're doing an off-market one. Troy Kelly has got it, and they listed it 24 hours later, had a contract. 24 hours later, she had a private viewing, 17 buyers, 3 contracts, 2 offers, and I suspect it'll sell. And we're still talking, it's now only 72 days it's been since it was listed, hasn't been on a portal, hasn't been on the market, nothing's happened, 17 buyers, 3 contracts, 2 offers within 24 hours. That's the speed that the best agents are operating at. So if you're sitting there scratching your head saying, my God, well, I haven't got any hot buyers, well, start finding hot buyers. They're not hard to find. Go and open a few properties next Saturday. Turn up interested, interesting, focused, follow them up, make a phone call, talk to them as much as you can on the day. Call them, you know, Saturday afternoon or Monday morning, you know, build relationships. So, you know, it's not hard. It's a pathetic excuse to say, oh, you know, I haven't got that many buyers. Every area has probably got at least 100 to 150 minimum hot buyers of some description within 20 minutes of your office. You just got to find them.
And John, you've got to have better conversations. Don't just be the cliche, how many beds, how many baths, what suburbs are you looking for, what's your price range? Everything you mentioned there about Michael's team, everything you mentioned about Alex Phillips and his team, they're asking better questions because they're genuinely interested in what people are looking for in the market. So you want a backyard. Why do you want a backyard? Oh, I've got two dogs. Okay, cool. How big are the dogs? Oh, do you need parking? Is the backyard or the parking more important? Like all of those types of questions get a better relationship and a deeper understanding of what they're looking for. So when the right property comes up, they're going to move quickly. That's why Michael's got 17 buyers within 24 hours looking at properties and three offers and all these contracts out. Like it's pretty amazing what you can do when you really are determined and focused on servicing someone with extreme standards.
The other thing I'd just like to mention, Tommy, before we start wrapping up perhaps, is I see a lot of agents not working as a team, meaning they think it's best for them to not allow their colleagues to introduce buyers because they've got to share the commission. My view is that scarcity mentality. First thing I used to do when I listed every property was and get my team excited about it, not just the people who were working immediately for me, everyone in the office, because I knew if I could turn it over and get high buyer activity and the vendor was saying to me, my God, John, you know, five of your guys have taken eight buyers through in the first 4 or 5 days and it's wonderful, it's teamwork. That word spreads that you are working as a team. So I think you've got to embrace the teamwork. You've got to have better discussions at sales meetings about property so everyone knows where they stand. So, yeah, I think, look, we've given everyone there 10, probably at least 10 hot tips about what the hell to do, but you just got to go and do it.
The last one I've got to say, guys, is technology now is allowing agents to have an insight they never previously had. Example, you go to an open for inspection, you know, you enter your details. What happens is agents are then triggered what buyer wants the pestle building report. So that's basically saying to you, this person here is hot. Tommy Hector said to me the other day, he said, Tom, he uses a product from Real Hub where when they send out a listing presentation, he sends out the document. Now, what happens is when the owners a week later or 2 weeks later go back in to look at the document, Tom Hector gets a text message saying they've gone in looking at the document, and he'll ring up and say, hey, I've noticed, you know, you're looking at that document. I mean, these are things that are allowing people to get an insight on their consumers. So I think it's the high tech, high touch that's needed in real estate. You can't go too much in one direction. It's the hybrid agent.
Yeah, that's critical. And I know when you interview Mike with your gym members, Tom, he'll tell you about how he uses technology, which is quite significant. So he's a great example of high touch, great service, but leveraging and becoming more efficient with his predominantly iPad, but iPhone, iPad. You know, as Josh Teslin said, I don't touch a computer, but my computer is in my hand. It's my phone.
And guys, to all our Melbourne agents, well done. You guys are having great period. The appetite for real estate from vendors and buyers is at an all-time high in Melbourne. Some real estate agents are having their best months ever. They're just lining up. They're just going, you know, one guy said it reminded him of, and you, John, you worked in 87, you did, didn't you? 87, the boom. If you can remember, often you were just going from an appointment to an appointment. There was just this big appetite for people to do deals. And we're really happy for, you know, the Victorian people who, you know, that's a long period of time that they were impacted. So well done. Guys, again, another superbly produced MDA podcast without the help of... I actually feel really bad because I actually went on a podcast today about an hour ago and they rang me at 9 to confirm the time. They got me to be there 10 minutes early to make sure it was all tested. They then made sure that I was there 5 minutes beforehand, and here we were arguing with our producer during the podcast.
Special guest. Yes. Special guest.
We love you, Susan. You're the best, Susan.
All right, guys, have a great weekend. Go and do that brilliant bioservicing. Talk next week.
There you go.